The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hola, welcome to the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club. Aquí estamos, Republicanos, Latinos. That's right. If you are an American of Hispanic descent and believe in faith, family, and free enterprise, you have found home, because brown is the new red. No Tio Tomas here, just Americans who believe in God and country. Now join the man from the land of Lincoln, Lincoln Heights, that is, David Hernandez.
Dun, dun, dun. And the young lass, you look almost Irish with that red hair flowing. And, you know, this is the new Jeffy Girgenti look.
What happens when you break a shoulder? You can't do your hair.
That's right.
So
okay.
It's just down.
But you showed up anyway. So, did. You know, the lady from the city of San Fernando, Jeffy Girgenti. Welcome, Jeffy. You know, I kind of like not having your name on the end there. It keeps you on, like, on double secret probation.
Double secret probation. The guest that never left.
And so here we are.
He's now the co-host.
We have a really big show. You're too young to remember Ed Sullivan. But
here
you know,
we go. Yes, I remember Ed Sullivan.
There's where the Beatles came out, and the Doors were on. I think the Doors were banned from Ed Sullivan. But, you know, not much has changed since then. You know, the cancel culture has been around a long, long time, and you really had to watch what you say. But now it's like on steroids.
And now they just cancel you. Well, you don't exist.
Speaking of canceling, you know, do you know how long people have been waiting for Cesar Chavez Day? You know, March 31st.
I know this is a big, huge feather in your hat. I know.
Well, you know, at least you didn't say sombrero. But, you know, it was, March 31st was Cesar Chavez Day.
There
was
we had his attorney on, and he was awesome.
Yeah, Reese Lloyd was on in California specifically, as well as other states. It was recognized as Cesar Chavez Day.
Not anymore.
Well, you know, so that was March 31st. Now, I don't know about you. When I went to school, and of course, I graduated Poly High School in Sun Valley in 1966. 1966.
The year I was born.
One day meant 24 hours. Now, I know the new woke generation today, saying two and two is four is racist. But, 24 hours is for a day. So, you know, and I'll give President Biden great. There was a statement, a proclamation from the White House acknowledging March 31st as not welcome home, but Cesar Chavez Day in the United States. And that was great. But before the sun set, he sent out the next proclamation that March 31st was Transgender Day. It's like, what the hey? You couldn't wait till Thursday? It's right. Like, come on.
And he made a big deal about having the bust of Cesar Chavez on
his
desk.
Right.
It was part of the inauguration how important it was. And now all of a sudden he's kicked into the curb.
You know what?
I wonder if he took him off his desk.
I don't know. Maybe that has to do with critical race theory. I mean, in reverse. You know, speaking of that, we have a guest here, and, you know, he drove all the way up from Orange County. You know, the LA Times says Orange County is so racist. But I'm looking across the table here, and you don't look white. But, Marcus, welcome, and, you know, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much, David, and so glad to be here.
Now, Marcus, how do you pronounce your last name?
Eng.
Now, wait a minute. Let's see. Now, were you afraid driving up the freeway?
I don't know. I just live in fear now. I don't go to the supermarket. I'm scared people will, you know, give me dirty looks and call me names. I mean, literally.
Well, you are Republican, so you have to admit, you are sitting
there. Are you another one of those wearing those red hats that say bring Trump back?
Sometimes.
So, Marcus, because people, a lot of people know you because you've done a lot of good work, and you know your organization. And I think that's where we first met. You had the Wednesday Club. God, that was a long time ago.
It's memories. I mean, you came to our one of our first meetings for Asian Industry B2B, and mm-hmm. it was a business networking. But I started putting up some politicians that I agree with and mm-hmm. that I support. And at that event was Mark Moisier, who ran for Secretary
Mark,
of State.
Yeah.
Yep. And you were there, and you know, had a great time. It was a blast. Right. Like-minded people.
Now, you're Chinese and Filipino?
Yes.
And is that mother, father? How does that?
Yeah, it's just my parents actually are both of Chinese descent, mm-hmm. but they were born in the Philippines. And
oh, okay.
So they were, you know, they're just natives of the Philippines. But their parents had escaped the Chinese Communist Revolution. So mm-hmm.
Oh,
I grew
kind of
up
interesting.
With my great-grandmother telling me all these stories of, you know, taking her two young kids and leaving her life to escape the Cultural Revolution. So the real republicanism and I guess the love for freedom is really ingrained in my blood because she made the ultimate sacrifice to leave her life mm-hmm. to go to the Philippines and be away from all the nonsense that was going from the book burning to
right.
all of the
– Oh, now, and know. Now they have – now they're going after other people in China. The,
right.
the pictures that have come out of China and the things that are going on that we are ignoring is horrifying. The torture that they're doing to women and to those tribes is just – it's horrifying.
And I like to ask the left, you know, you care so much about human rights, but why are you turning a blind eye on this? I mean, the hypocrisy is just mm-hmm. –
Well, that's because of Nike. That's because of, you know, it's because of the woke industry attire.
And the Democrat politicians are bought and paid for by China.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Eric Swalwell. I mean, there you go right there.
Yeah.
Great example.
Well, and here they're, you know, and they're – that's really – oh, okay. Look at it. We have somebody waiting in the wings. That's our friend Edwin.
Oh, yes.
He's calling a little early.
Edwin, can you hear us?
I can hear you guys. Yeah, I called in a little early, but I just wanted to listen to you guys. You guys sound like an interesting show tonight.
Well, I'm sitting across the table from our friend Marcus, your friend as well, and we're talking about, you know, his parents fleeing communist China to the Philippines. And, you know, I don't know if you knew, I've been to the Philippines
yes.
several times.
Yes, you have.
Because you served 1968,
our country.
During the Vietnam War.
Wonderful.
And so,
wow.
Edwin, you know, welcome. And so, you know, you can join in on the conversation as well. You can listen to me if you have any questions for Marcus. But, you know, we were talking about how the cancel culture has been going on for a long time, and especially now it seems like they're trying to formalize or at least drive a wedge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about an article in the LA Times how Orange County has now become so racist, and yet I'm looking at areas like Santa Ana with the Hispanic community or Westminster with the Vietnamese community or Garden Grove. We look at the two Republican Congress members that were elected with Young Kim and Michelle Steele. And, you know, regardless of what, you know, one may have with any their individual actions, the fact is they were elected in Orange County.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll tell you, I was part of a big effort to get South County to donate to Young Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had a lot of issues with the Republican base. And what happened was, you know, they rallied in 2020 to actually direct their giving away from the 49th district and the 45th, which mm-hmm. is Irvine, and to help these two candidates. So I think it's so ridiculous how you could even claim any sort of racism. I was just at a wedding, you know, drove up here from Fullerton, and that wedding was a Hispanic Armenian wedding. And literally there was like black people, Asian people, white people. It's everyone. I don't see this racism that mm-hmm. they want to try to create, and they are successfully doing that with critical race theory.
Right.
I mean,
explain the critical race theory, because I know a lot of people don't understand what it is. They go critical race theory. They everyone's got a different definition. So give us a definition of the critical race theory on how you see it.
So in a nutshell, the critical race theory actually started from a legal paper way back, and it was a bunch of legal scholars that came out and said that, you know, persons of color have an inherent disadvantage in this white dominated culture, mm-hmm. and that there is this white supremacy that is toxic to minorities. So really, that was kind of the basis of those early papers. But it has since evolved. And what's very interesting is because Asians have been so successful in academics, they're actually removing Asians from that persons of color category and calling us white adjacent.
White adjacent.
Yeah, and that will also apply to people like David, who are successful businessmen and successful community people. You are also white adjacent, David.
White adjacent, huh? Well, no wonder your birth certificate says white.
Well, that's why we have this show. It's time to wake up and smell the chorizo. Yeah. Betty, it's, you were being canceled. First season, no, first it was Christopher Columbus, but that was Italian, so what difference does that make? So it was, now Mexicans, but you're right. And it seems like, and I think Edwin could kind of weigh in on this as well. As we have seen, as more and more of the leftist policies are impacting everyday people, closing of the schools, closing of the churches, all these different things, their businesses closing, that you have so many different groups of people are looking at, well, maybe the Republican Party isn't as off limits as we thought it was. And so there has to be a stop to that. They need to push that critical race theory.
I mean, David, look at what happened in the last election with Trump, who is supposedly the epitome of racism.
Grand wizard, yeah.
Yes, grand wizard, yeah. And he ended up getting a record number of votes in Miami-Dade County, which is all Hispanic. I mean, mm-hmm. I've spent a lot of time in Hialeah in Miami. And, Florida is by no means white. That south part of South Florida.
Right.
Trump almost won it.
That off and say, they're Cubans. Yeah. Yeah. They compared, to the U.S. to communism, so it's really unfair to criticize.
And they do
Democrats.
This with the Vietnamese too, which is really bothers me. But then let me push back on that. In West Texas, the highest Republican votes ever in recorded in history. In fact, one of the imperiled congressmen won his election pretty comfortably against a female Democrat challenger in Texas 23. So that was a huge, huge win for Mexicans that are leaning right.
Well, that the conservative Hispanic vote went from about 16%, a little bit more than 4 years ago, to now 27% in this last election cycle. So there are alarms going off all over this country.
So we're all racist, though, right?
Well,
exactly.
Maybe that's why we're being pushed into the widow category because all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, these brown people they're not getting back on the plantation. They're questioning.
But what's really interesting is that there's a business opening up next to the business that I'm currently closing. And he is Hispanic, he's an artist, and he's young. And when I was speaking to him, letting him know that I was running for California State Assembly in the 45th District, he's like, oh, really? And I go, Republican. He goes, really? Shh, don't tell anybody. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, nobody knows. And he had several workmen in there, and they were all surprised that he's Republican. It turned out they were all Republican also, and none of them had any idea because they don't talk to each other about it. They don't talk about it, and that's the whole reason why David started the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club, was to let Hispanics and now even Asian, any other culture, know that you're not alone in being Republican. You're not alone in believing that you have a right to your freedoms. You don't need a passport to have a vaccine to get on an airplane, which is absolutely, amen, completely out of this crazy.
The left has silenced us too long, and it's just so great to see a lot of regular everyday Asians, Latinos, mm-hmm. and blacks now start podcasts, radio shows like this. We need to get our stories out because we are very clear why we're Republican, and people need to know that. Because during the 2020 election cycle, I was shocked at how much media and press that I got when I threw my Filipino rallies for Trump. And people people from the left, like journalists, were calling me like, I'm so confused. Why would you do that? I'm like,
I'm confused.
Oh, come on. You
live in a bubble?
You're ashamed of your race. You're a race traitor. You're a coconut. I mean, I've been called all that stuff.
David, I want to say this, and I said this to you before the show. I cannot stand how the left tries to play pop psychologist constantly.
That's right.
You don't know me. You don't know us. don't think you can get in my head and think and speak for my motivations or speak for how I feel. How dare you?
Well, if you, now Asian hate is real, all they have to do is look at your Facebook page when you come
out, that
Asian hate from the left.
And you know what I did? All I did was I posted a picture of myself and Devin Nunez. Uh-huh. Who is also a minority. Uh-huh. And they attacked us for being white supremacists and all these nasty things. I mean, it's amazing. You can go on at Marquess Angus, MARQUESANGUS, and see all the ridiculous stuff. I didn't even respond to it because it was so ludicrous at the end of the day. But that is the mob from the left. They operate on stupidity, low information, and raw emotion. And a lot of it is hate.
Yeah. And they're hysterical. You know, that Trump derangement syndrome, you know, I didn't used to think it was real, but boy, it is. And, you know, and I really felt sorry for some of my friends because I could see it. And it's like what I heard over and over is, but what about the kids in the cages? What about the kids in the cages?
Okay, well, now they're in plastic. Now they're in plastic cages.
Yeah. There's three times more kids in cages now.
Yeah.
But what is it? There's 640 kids in a place where there should only be 84.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that like COVID non-compliant?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're on top of each other.
Wow.
And they're not even testing them from what
That's
I understand.
Super spreader level right there.
Super spreader stations. So, Edwin, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a great day today. It was nice and warm, and I could feel all the success around the community. I was just wondering if I should have been a victim.
Well,
only if you're on the left.
You know what? You're missing out. If you're not a victim and you don't need somebody to speak for you, you know what? You're going to be shortchanged when they start giving out guaranteed income like they're doing in Oakland or
Basic
San Francisco.
Basic universal income.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Yeah. Basic universal income.
Oh, yeah. I don't qualify.
That's right.
Not because I don't make too much money, because I'm white.
Yeah, absolutely, especially in Oakland.
Exactly.
You're a disqualifier. You've been disqualified.
I was disqualified based on race.
So, Edwin, now you were the past president of the South Bay Republicans?
Correct. I'm currently the immediate past president of the South Bay Republican Assembly, but on the state level with the state organization, I'm the VP for LA County for the California Republican Assembly. And, I sit on other Republican, organizations. And, you know, it's all about fighting for conservative rights. And, you know, we really need to get the word out to the Asian community, because the Asian community, we live very conservative lives. Yet the media and the Democrats say that we should be victims. We should learn to hate and we should be Democrats. And I don't think that's right. I think, you know, based on our culture and how we, handle our lives, we're basically conservatives. So we need to get that message out.
Now, it's funny now, if you ask somebody, where were you born? That's considered racist. Now, if somebody asks me, I say Lincoln Heights. Now Marquess is what, first generation. Marquess was born here, and you know it's kind of like, do I dare ask Edwin where he was born?
I was born in San Francisco at San Francisco General in the Mission District, and we were poor. My dad came from the Philippines with literally $100 and, from that $111 that left from the Philippines, and he bought two suits in Hong Kong. So he really had about $50 in his pocket when he landed in 1968. And he became very successful. And, he was a conservative through and through. Although he was a registered Democrat, he never voted Democrat after Jimmy Carter.
Well, and you can talk to some of my Persian friends about Jimmy Carter, and there's a reason that they're conservative as well. And but, you know, Edwin, when you look at the number of Asians, Hispanics, African-Americans, the whole group of people, you see more and more of them because of issues. It seems like they're becoming more conservative.
Yeah, I think once they start seeing how much taxes we're paying, and under Trump, we saw lowering of taxes, and we saw gas prices stabilize and in fact go down, and that helped us, you know, grow our businesses and have a better life. So I think there's a reason why we should push the conservative movement, because you know we believe in in the American dream. You know, ask my father, you know, everybody in the Philippines, what the dream is, and that was to go to America and become an American. Ask any other country, what the dream is, and I would say 90% of them, 99% of them will say the American dream, even though they were born in Honduras or they were born in Persia.
Well, you know, the Filipino community, because I was a member of the Filipino American Chamber of Commerce, and my good friends, you know, and that started over there in Van Nuys with Noel Omega and Mary Ann, and
I love them.
Yeah, you know, just you know, some great, great people, very supportive. The Knights of Columbus over there. You know, the Knights of Columbus, especially the ones that were in Van Nuys. Some of my friends, old Jamie Cadero and Candy. The Knights of Columbus in Van Nuys. It was pretty much controlled by a lot of the local people there that were maybe Hispanic or Caucasian. And Primo, who left the Van Nuys area and went over to was at St. Genevieve's over there on Roscoe, and started the Knights of Columbus chapter with Filipinos. It became the biggest Knights of Columbus chapter in California, and it was always going on marches with them or going over to Planned Parenthood for protests. I mean, very, very family oriented, faith based oriented. But you know, when you look back over the history of the United States and the Philippines, especially during World War II, I mean, what the Chinese did or the Japanese did to the Filipinos, and how they were really ignored, you know, with regards to veterans benefits after World War II. I mean, it's taken a long time for Filipinos to really get what they deserved as far as recognition and benefits from that war.
And David, Filipinos worked hard. Yeah. Filipinos, like Edwin's parents came here with nothing. A lot of them were very poor. They came here and built lives, got their kids educated. And obviously right now when we look around in the frontline healthcare industry, so many are nurses, so many are working two jobs. Because the common thing is, you know, the nurses work 3-4 days straight, and then the rest of the time they start their own business.
Right.
And, you know, been able to upward mobilize in the last, decade to now where the top earners in Southern California. So, you know, that's hard work. The Democrats love to attack hard work.
Yeah.
They love to attack meritocracy. They want to give they want to make a system where people are drained and feeling like helpless. And Republicans want to empower people with inspiration, with values, with hard work.
Well, and that's what I say, Jeffy, that, you know, the language of the Latino community isn't Spanish. It's hard work.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it's hard work, and you know, and I think Edwin would agree, it's hard work, and you self-determination. You want to do with your money that you earned, with what you want to do with it.
Well, it's also choice too. I mean, when you look at these other countries, and you know, like Edwin, you said that people came here the American dream. You also came here for the freedom to decide: do you want to be vaccinated? Do you want to have to be forced into a vaccination because you know it's a 98% cure rate? Do you want to be forced to have health care, whether or not you decide it's what you want? I mean, you know, all of a sudden we're becoming the country that people were fleeing from. And that's a horror story in itself. I mean, the left is turning us into this place that I don't know where we're going from here. I mean, where's the dream go?
Talk to anyone from Venezuela who saw the rapid decline of being the most opulent country in South America to today.
Right. Yeah. Now, Edwin, what organizations or Republican groups do you belong to now, and how can people find out about them and participate?
Yeah, well, you can still find me at all of the South Bay Republican Assembly groups or functions. You know, we generally meet on the fourth Mondays in the South Bay somewhere. I'm also involved with the Asian American Freedom PAC, and also for those of you who are interested, the California Republican Assembly is having a convention.
Oh, on the 17th.
On April 17th in Visalia. So, we're getting back on track. We're meeting the whole state, and hopefully we'll find ways to turn California red again.
No, absolutely. All right, Edwin, thank you very much for all that you do, and say hi to the wife and the little ones, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Bye, Edwin.
Great show. Thanks, everybody.
All right, bye now. Bye. You know, there's so many good people out there that I've known Edwin for many years, and it's like our paths keep crossing, and that's such a good thing. And so let's see. Oh, there's Kay and there's Darren over there behind you in the control room, and we're just about getting ready to go to our hard break, but we decided to add another segment to the show.
Kay's Corner.
It's the rant of the week. When we come back from our hard break. We'll be back at 8:33, and we'll be back with Marcus and Kay's Corner, the rant of the week.
Welcome to the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club on AM 870, The Answer. Coming to you live from the C&M Metal Studios in Glendale, California. This program is made possible by C&M Metals, 1709 East 24th Street, Los Angeles, California, 90058. Telephone 323-234-4662. On behalf of your host, David, and the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club, thank you to Don Monroe and CNM Metals for their generous and unwavering support of the organization. For more information about the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club and CNM Metals, go to their website, LosAngelesHispanicRepublicanClub.com. That's LosAngelesHispanicRepublicanClub.com.
Da, 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 da. And we're back, and this is exciting. We're adding a new segment to the show.
Okay, so let's just start with why we're getting this segment. So we have Kay. She's one of our producers, and every week before we start our show, she's got a rant. Every week we have Kay's rant.
On the way over here in the car.
We get it all in the car, yeah, because I'm the taxi. I pick everybody up, and she gets in, and we get a rant. So David says tonight, he goes, we have to do Kay's rant. Kay's Corner, the daily rant. So Kay, please.
Welcome to one of the largest, not to make you uneasy, one of the largest radio markets in the LA Basin that can be heard not only in Los Angeles County, but all
nationwide.
Over. There you go.
Well, that's important. That's important.
Okay, so rant it.
All right, closer to the mic, Miss Producer here.
As we also be known as Kay sees it.
As Kay sees it,
because I have an opinion about everything, especially about what's going on.
Well, so you're blonde. I mean, so for those that can't see, blonde, blue eyes.
Identifying is
white privilege perspective.
That's a member of the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club. La Barita.
There you go.
All right, so give us your rant.
I've already ranted it out, but on the way over here, what got me riled up today was reading more about what was going on at the border. And we talk about the border challenge, as the Biden administration would love for us to believe. Although those of us that are awake, we know a little bit different. So what I was reading on my way over here that got me going is that Univision and other Hispanic media sites are now interviewing coyotes so they can give their side of the story. But what got me is that why are you doing this now? Why such? It's an insurgency. So why the surge at the border? Well, Biden told us benefits, benefits, benefits. What are your benefits? The coyotes are getting paid. They're taking kids away from the families. Are the coyotes paying the parents? Are they just stealing them? We had over 70,000 just in March. That's 74% higher than what it was in February. So we've got all these things happening at our border, wondering what the heck is going on. How come Title 42 has not been put in? That was Trump's executive order. And where is the Department of Homeland Security? what is going on here? We're here in California, and this is what really gets to me, is that we've been shut down for a full year. No business. AB 5 is gone. Businesses are closed. Many of my friends lease on the doors. The kids are still out of school. We have to wear masks wherever we go. We have to be vaccinated, tested, walk in the doors, have our temperature checked everywhere we go. There's still people sitting on patios if they're lucky.
You need a passport to get on an airplane for a vaccination.
Okay. So we have only a few restaurants that are even allowing outside dining, much less indoor dining. You can take up. Pick up and take out. That's about it. So we have a surge at the border while we're still here in California without any funds, without any work, without any school, wearing masks and being told that we have 40,000 unaccompanied minors going to San Diego Convention Center to have in-person schooling. What is wrong with this picture? It's wrong. I want to know what's going on. I'm ready to get in my little car and go down to the border and do an AOC impersonation right there on the fence and say, what are you doing? Because I want some answers. And I know that I'm not the only one that wants answers. We're all feeling like we've been in solitary confinement. If you know anyone from California, we're all about cuckoo anyways. But being locked up for a year in these little seriously. So what's going on? That was my rant. We have the insurgency. We have schooling. As of Monday, April 5th, there is going to be some openness that we got from the health department that says that some of the businesses can start opening again. But what does that mean? How are we going to do that?
Yep.
We're going to be in a mask, like they said, until 2022. But you know what? I'm hoping. I know that there are some states across America that are doing mask burning. They've had enough. We've had enough.
No mas.
No mas. Basta. And Newsom thinks that it's all because we are radical Nazis that are trying to forge something, thinking that the recall started because of the Republicans. And I just think that they keep twisting narratives so that they can try to keep him and his little cutesy little family of their, excuse me for saying this, California.
Don't get beeped.
yeah, watch that language.
Our California cartel here. So that was my rant. We've had enough.
Okay. Thank you, Kay. And we'll see you next week. We'll hear from you next week.
I'll have so many more rants by that time.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so Jeffy, and I think Kay is really speaking to the frustrations a lot of people are having.
Yeah, I think that, your rant is exactly what, people are feeling. They're tired of being locked up. They're tired of wearing masks. They're tired of they can't go to the gym. And if they go to the gym, they have rules. I got an email from my gym asking me, how do I feel about wearing a mask working out? And how do I feel about having, five people working out in the gym instead of the 10 I worked out with before? And I'm like, let us just go back and work out. If you don't want to go to the gym, then don't work out.
Well, I exercise restraint.
Restraint of what? Wearing the mask or not wearing the mask?
Definitely not restraint of restraint of tongue and pen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, thank God that we still have the freedom for AM radio and AM 870, or who knows where we'd be.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, we would be really in trouble. But I think people are tired. People are done. Businesses have closed. You drive down Ventura Boulevard in the valley, in the San Fernando Valley, and all you see is for lease. I mean, and what about these poor landlords that haven't been paid for a year and now they're saying they get to go till June? I'm like, listen, I paid my landlord even though my salon was closed for 9 months. I still paid my landlord and I'm closing my doors and moving into, a different place. But, you got to do what you got to do. Between AB5 and Gavin Newsom, California is like screwed.
Oh, that's borderline beeping. Now, Marcus, it's, there's so much going on. Like we said, getting back to this, there's always a certain amount of violence against everyone, whether it's, regardless of what their ethnicity, and unfortunately, you have a media that jumps on something, and it's like we had with somebody crashed the barrier at the White House yesterday, and right away they were getting ready to go all white supremacists or, you know, Proud Boy. That then it turned out it was, I think it was an African American man that was, and they was ended up being shot and killed, and one of the police officers was killed as well. But it just seems like all you have to do is mention something, and the media just jumps on it, which brings me to something that you're are planning coming up in the future.
Yeah, let me first say, you know, it's always so sad to see all of these, you know, mass shootings and people getting killed for whatever reason. Death is death. It's sad, especially premature death. And what really kills me, though, is how the media, though, is almost like opportunistic about it. Mm-hmm. They want it to fit a certain narrative. So what happened in Atlanta that involved six Asian women that were killed in massage parlors and two other non-Asian women, that was subject to a false email that circulated prematurely. And the media jumped on that because it fit the narrative that they wanted to push, which was white supremacy and Asian hate. Mm-hmm. In real life, I think many of us who interact in the community, especially myself, I interact with so many people. I'm sorry, but there is really not much animosity between whites and Asians. It's just not a thing. They a lot of, and especially in Orange County, they live together. There's no, it doesn't exist. So they're trying to make something happen that's not really in line with reality. And you know what happened with that? It's sad because we missed an opportunity with the Atlanta shootings to actually talk about sex addiction, mm-hmm. and that's really was the root of you know, Robert Long's rampage, mm-hmm. because he was a customer of these Asian massage parlors.
Right.
So by default, if you think about it, he was not racist because he was a patron mm-hmm. of these businesses. So it's just so silly that they would push that. But, you know, we're doing a rally in Irvine on April 17th. So in just a couple of Saturdays from now, at 10 a.m. to noon, and we're using the same hashtags as the left, because I thank the left. I thank the left for actually putting up this issue, because in the past, Asians were normally ignored. Mm-hmm. Asians are normally invisible. In Hollywood, they certainly ignore us and never cast us in any major
role. Well, not now. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sorry to say, but there's no Mexicans on television. All of the magazines are either black or Asian. What the hell? I mean,
right.
They're trying to...
Latino lives matter.
Well let's Latinos lives matter. You know,
and it's not Latinx.
The only thing that definitely not Latinx. The only thing we see, you know, is Speedy Gonzalez, and that's it. Yeah. I mean, we've been.
I think he's even been X'd.
Well,
out.
He's gone the way of Pepe Le Pew and
poor Pepe,
Mr. Potato Head,
Mr. Potato Head. Yes,
that's right. So no, and getting back to what you're talking about, your event.
Yeah, we want to empower people.
So what is your hashtag? What's
stop AAPI hate, stop Asian hate, you know. But really, how do we stop it is where we differ with the left. I believe it's through empowerment. We Asians have come here, like Edwin's parents that came here. They didn't sit there for a handout. They didn't complain. They worked hard. They started poor. They started in the lower rungs of society and saved money and worked their way up. And within one generation, we're higher earners than Native mm-hmm. Americans or Native-born Americans. So that is kind of the message we want to push. And also self-defense. I mean, you know, we have the Koreans in during the Watts riots, the rooftop Koreans who mm-hmm. actually shot down people that were invading their businesses. And I'm not, you know, I don't think that it should always be, you know, gun violence or whatever, but it can be other ways of self-defense.
Right.
You know, and that's what we need to empower people. If you think you're a victim, you will become a victim.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Well, and, you know, and if you're a victim, you need somebody to speak for you and tell mm-hmm. you how to vote and where to work and mm-hmm. the temperature of your thermostat in your house and what car you drive. And, you know, just to help you, we're going to put a tracker on your car. So if you drive over so many miles, you're going to have to pay a mileage tax coming.
Didn't Los Angeles Department of Water and Power give away free nests, too, to people? Yeah, because they want to, oh, look, you're using so much energy. We're going to shut it off for this week. Mm-hmm. I did not take that nest. Thank
no.
you. Nor did I get the free roof or the solar panels.
There's no free lunch, Missy. I'm sorry. You know,
and they act like they're doing you a favor.
Exactly.
That's the worst part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's there are so many opportunities. I mean, there's so many things going on. I mean, we see over 2 million signatures to recall the governor. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not.
What do you mean, unfortunately? We like those 2
million
plus.
Well, no, unfortunately, we still got to, you know, just because the horse crossed the finish line doesn't mean that it's going to be in the win column, because look at who's counting the vote. I mean, look at who's verifying the signatures.
Well, yeah, our Democratic I forget what seat it is.
Well, no, it's
Secretary of State.
I guess Shirley Weber is the governor's appointee for Secretary of State.
And I encourage everyone to look up what Shirley Weber has done. She was responsible for the California Healthy Youth Act, which is the one that put all the sex ed, inappropriate sex ed, in elementary and middle schools. I mean, you know, this woman is just out of control, like far left.
Well, now, since she was filling Alex Padilla's seat, so that's going to be in the 2022 election cycle.
That's right.
So,
which assembly? Do you know what seat she is? Assembly.
She was, I think, somewhere in the Inland Empire. I'm not quite sure, but she was an assemblywoman.
Yeah. Well, but so now she is Secretary of State, but she has to run if she wants to stay there.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I say. Anyone who's in her district, if you want to run for office, this is a perfect opportunity to take her seat.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that, yeah, they'd have to have a special election for that,
yeah,
for that seat.
You know, we just think part of Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club is that no seat should be run unopposed, which is how I ran. Mm-hmm. Because I was talked into running, and I'm glad I was talked into running. But yeah, Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club believes that every seat should have an opponent.
And I really want to applaud you for doing that, because, you know, when some people say, oh, don't run because you can't win the seat anyways.
Oh, I was told that.
Yeah, I'm sure many times, and they won't fund you. But, you know, you're able to go out there and spread a message.
Absolutely.
And that is the most important thing, because the war is not on these political seats right now. The war is the culture. We've lost the culture, and basically, you know, the majority of people are brainwashed at this point, and we just have to wake them up.
You know, I have to say that when I'm still running. I'm running for 2022 as well. But one of the things I got to do is I had the ability to just talk to people in my area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we spoke before we started the show, I talked about the issues. I didn't talk about being Republican. I didn't speak about, you know, being conservative. What I talked about was, are you okay with AB5? Are you okay with, you know, your 5-year-old getting sex education and being told that your little boy can be a little girl? They don't have to decide right now. You know, those things, in my opinion, need to be left to parents. Parental choice is really important. And, you know, I know in the Asian community, you have a very strong family support. You've got very big, your families, for the most part, are very big churchgoers. And I'm sure it's really hard for your families to have your churches closed and not be able to have your community together. The Asian community is a tight community. It's a gifted community that lends support to each other. And I believe that's a lot of the reasons why a lot of these immigrants, like our next guest, Amy Phan, who will be calling in soon, she was on our show last week, how her family came over on a boat. She came with nothing. And grew these businesses and have been extremely successful. But it's the hard work that you put in, and that's what your values are in America, is that hard work. And we're losing that message.
Absolutely. And we must go out there and remind people what our values are and what we're made of. Not victimhood, not handouts, not any of that stuff. It's hard work and faith, family, pro-business, all that stuff.
100%, 100%.
Right. You know, that's like the three: faith, family, and free enterprise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're losing faith, we're losing family, and we're losing the free enterprise. We need to change that.
They're trying. And I think that, you know, the new woke, they've woken from being woke.
How did they even come up with woke? I don't even know. I'm like, I had to look that up. I'm like, what does that mean?
I am tired of them butchering our language.
I know.
You know, especially the gender they. I mean, I cannot ever say they is.
We have somebody on the line now. Let's see if that is our friend from the Vietnamese community. Is that? Go ahead. You're on the air.
This is Amy Phan West. How are you, David?
I'm well.
Amy. Hi, Amy. How are you? It's Jeffy.
And I'll say that. And I'll say that right. It's Amy Phan, as in Phan West, right?
Yes, that's correct. Phan.
Okay. Now, Amy, we have in studio, we have Marcus Ng is here in studio with us.
Amy, nice to see you or hear
hey,
you.
Mark.
So, Amy, thank you so much for last week's show. I mean, the response was really incredible.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So now let's talk about you. And, you know, we heard, you know, last week that you came over with your parents during the vote flotilla escaping communist Vietnam. And you want to share a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. So I escaped Vietnam when I was 4 years old on a fishing boat with my mom and dad, my older sister, my two twin younger brothers, and my mom was 8 months pregnant with my younger sister at the time. And we have to escape the communist regime because my dad said to my mom, if we live under the communist regime, there's no future for our children. There's nothing for us. And we will die in the hand of the communists. So we either escape and die at sea or die in the hands of the communist regime. And so my dad took that step of faith with what he got, you know, muster it and get us on the fishing boat and to meet up with another family. In 3 days, we ran, actually, whatever food, water supply we have, we took with us, like, you know, that's it. And in 3 days, we ran out of fresh water. And thank God the German oil tank out there took us in and gave us food, water, and then sent us over to Thailand refugee camp. And there we were trying to seek for asylum to come to America, because if we go back to Vietnam, there's no way. We will die, you know. And so we were there for a year and a half at Thailand refugee camp, and then 6 months at the Philippine refugee camp. And then they flew us over to Huntington Beach, California. But on a side note, just to let you know, my dad, before he left, he saw this man in white saying, "You must escape Vietnam and you must believe in me." And this was going on, you know, throughout in his dream. And he's like, "Who is this? Is your God? You know, protect my family from Vietnam to America safe, and I'll worship you." And so he had that faith, and he went, and you know, escaping with that faith. And when they flew us over to Huntington Beach, California, around us are Vietnamese communities that share the gospel to us, and that's how we became Christian. And we are so appreciative of America and what it's afforded us and our family, and the freedom to speak our mind, the freedom to be successful if we wanted to, you know, and the freedom to think for ourselves. We don't have that over in Vietnam, so we're very fortunate.
Well, you know, and that's an incredible, that's like a movie of the week story. Amy, you know, I've heard you share that at some events and stuff, you know, because, you know, people are very sensitive here in the United States. And if somebody says something derogatory, all of a sudden, you know, they compare themselves to, you know, people that have gone through such real tragedies in other countries at the hands of communist regimes or, you know, other dictators. But I know that you've kind of taken the path to give back. And, you know, one of the most touching things that we heard last week was when you spoke with my friend who was talking about when he was in the army in Vietnam, not getting close to children because he was afraid they would be, you know, collateral damage when, you know, in those battles. And that, you know, that separation that he created it with himself over there, he unfortunately brought home and exhibited that with his own children. And when you told him and you thanked him for fighting, you know, for you as one of those four-year-olds over there in Vietnam at that time, and that now you're here fighting for his rights against, you know, what is going in the same direction. And so let's, in the time that we have left, let's talk about what you're doing politically in fighting for all of our rights.
Right. Well, I am running for state senate here in Albuquerque, state of California. And, you know, we need a fight to save for a safe California, because whatever passed down from our legislature is affecting all of our businesses, our livelihood, our children's education, everything you can think of. It's destroying Americans. It's destroying Californians by the day. And they're moving out, you know, mass exodus, you know. from to Texas, to Arizona, to other states, because they can't afford the liberal, ideology, liberal leadership here in California. It's draining their families. And so in order for us to continue to keep our Californians here, we have to, have Republican conservatives in the legislature to make sure they fight for the conservative values, which are our shared values of limited government, economic freedom. And that's what we need to do, open California. That's the first step that they need to do.
Absolutely. Now, how can people find out more information? How can they contribute to your campaign, volunteer?
Oh, yes, I would love that. You guys can go on my webpage, Amy, A-M-Y, Fan, P-H-A-N, West, W-E-S-T.com, just my name, .com. And then there you can subscribe, get on the email list, and get involved. And then there's also the donation link there that you can make a donation. Because the thing is, every campaign, it takes money. It takes money to win the seat, and it takes money to bring out conservatives and fight for our conservative values.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to get your support. You guys hear my voice today, I'm a fighter. If I can escape Thomas regime and survive the fishing boat, I believe I can survive the legislature in Sacramento.
That's right. Thank you, Amy.
Bye,
God,
Amy.
God bless you. Marcus, there's the music. It's one of the quickest hours in radio.
Join me on April 17th, please, 10 a.m. in Irvine City Hall.
And once again, how can people contact you?
AIB2B.org. AIB2B.org.
And Jeffy Gergenti for Assembly 2022.
Nope, Jeffy for Assembly.
Jeffy for Assembly. All right.
.com.
Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our crew behind the glass over there. And
Kay's Corner.
We're out.